The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag Growing Gauteng Together.
Greetings and a very warm welcome to our show, Life in the New Normal. The New Normal, life under the COVID-19 pandemic. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of debate about schools reopening. It's very complicated and a controversial subject, and a topic I think of great interest to many, particularly parents, as we are debating, and some grades are going back to school, some will be going back to school in the near future. At a government level, there's been a to and froing of school reopening, and clearly there's a lot of sympathy because there are many schools in the country which don't have adequate hygiene measure to control infection. So the title of today's show is Mental Preparation. Are you ready to return to school? A psychological guide. Are you ready? Before I go on with the show, let me just say a few words about myself. My name is Barry Shoup. I'm a medical virologist by training. I was the founder and the former director of the NICD, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, which is the country's reference institution for infectious disease. I'm also the first professor of virology, so I'm emeritus professor of virology at Wits University, and I served as the professor and head of that department for over 3 decades. So these are things that we'll be talking about today, and really I'm asking you the question, are you ready to go back to school? You being the parents, as well as the children. So joining me today to share his expertise is a renowned psychologist, a child psychologist, an educational psychologist, David Abramson. So David, it's a great pleasure to welcome you onto the show. Thank you very much for being with us. Before I go to the first question, if you want to contact me during the show, if you have any questions or comments, as I'm sure you will do, I hope you will do, I'm inviting you to get in touch with me during the show. This is how you contact me. You can send an SMS on 34519, 34519, or you can send a Telegram message on 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019, or you can send me an email at onair, one word, O-N-A-I-R, at highfm.com. David, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Professor, thanks so much for having me on your show.
Great, thank you. David, you want to just for a minute just tell us a bit about yourself? Great honor, a pleasure, and a privilege having you on the show.
Prof, I'm just a clinicalist. I work in private practice in Johannesburg for the last 20 years, and I really work specifically with parents and children and deal with different logical challenges with these days. So that's me, really.
Okay, great, great. So you're just the person we need for the show. Now, let's start with our first item, and that's really anxiety. Clearly, yes. Going back to school after this long break of well over 2 months now, how do parents cope with anxiety of going back to school? And then after that, how should parents deal with children's anxiety? Can you just give us a few words on that?
Absolutely. And I think it's apt how you've started the show, Prof, because I think that is so important that we start at step one. And I think, interestingly enough, I think step one is really examining how parents are managing their own anxiety. We know that kids look to their caregivers, to their parents, even to the teachers, see how they see their difficulties. And I think with the coronavirus, it's no different. So I think the first thing is that parents just take time to assess how they are managing and how they're managing their stress around the coronavirus. Because I think, as I said, it's so important that they, when they do interact with their kids, that they're modeling, show the children that actually everything is under control, that the humans, or the adult humans, actually have things under control to a greater or less right now because of the coronavirus being, very fluid. But I think that's number one. And I think there are a number of things that, parents can do to keep their anxiety under control and then being aware to be calm when speaking to their kids about things. And I think the first one is to be very very smart about what they're reading. I think that's very important. And then I think it's also very important to take small steps, you know, focus on what we can do today, not, you know, to project too far into the future, because that can be overwhelming. So just take small steps. What can we do today? What can I control today? And then the other thing is routine. You know, routine. And again, we're not talking about running, you know, like a camp where, you know, things are hour to hour and have to stay exactly to a timetable. But I think, you know, if you are giving yourself and your children, you know, time in the day to exercise, to eat meals together, regular meals together, and very importantly, to get enough sleep. Anxiety can be so helpful. It can actually be so productive. But obviously, we need to keep it at a at an acceptable level. It's when it gets to a, I always like to think about it between 0 and 10. But when it gets to a 7, 8, 9, and 10, you know, then it can overwhelm us. But anxiety can be unbelievably helpful in getting us productive, in helping our kids to be productive, and also in keeping us safe. It's very important not to...
You know what? I think we're going to go for an ad break.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag growing Gauteng together.
Welcome back. It's Professor Barry Shoup. This is the Living the Life in the New Normal. Today's session on mental preparation. Are you ready to return to school? A psychological guide. And my distinguished guest is David Abramson, a psychologist with a lot of experience with dealing with children and education. David, you're talking about anxiety with parents, anxiety with children. There are a lot of kind of problems, I think, when going back to school, because from a medical, from a public health point of view, we've had to really demand a lot of public health interventions to minimize the chances of virus and, transmission. Social distancing, wearing masks, hand washings, hand sanitization, and so on. Does this actually, do these measures themselves contribute to children's fear, you know, coming back to school? In other words, is there a sense that it may contribute to a sense of panic, sense of fear?
You know, I think any kind of change and dramatic change in a child's environment would cause a degree of anxiety. So I think for me, the real key is, obviously, as you say, it's going to be very important to prioritize children's health and well-being. And I think our schools, generally, if we're talking the Jewish day schools, generally have really taken this to heart and have, you know, put extreme measures in place to protect our children.
We're talking about a separation anxiety. I think flowing from that, you know, children, you know, schools have been closed. Are, you know, have the children, in your experience, been isolated, or are they actually mixing in a non-school environment? The reason I'd like to hear your answer, because I'd like to follow it up on a purely infection control issue. So has it been out of school? How extensive is out of school context?
Prof, it's such an interesting question. And I've, you know, I kind of touched on this point before. And I think for me, what I'm seeing is something called, in psychology, called confirmation bias. And confirmation bias is really people looking.
Talking about social mixing outside the school. Let me introduce. I'll tell you why. It's an important topic, because one of the kind of, in a way, reassurances that we've been given both to parents as well as to the general public at large in terms of children going back to school is that we know from many studies that children are very poor transmitters of the virus. So from an infection control point of view, it is a sort of an amelioration that children do get back to school and are not as big a risk in terms of the epidemic control of the epidemic, because they are poor transmitters both to themselves as well as to adults. That's the one thing which has been shown from numerous studies in many countries around the world. But also what has been observed is that children during school closures, and this was studies done in countries which had school closure and then abolished school closure during the epidemics, that in fact most of the acquisition of the virus came from household transmission or from children mixing outside the school environment. And I think it would be nice to kind of have some kind of handle in our population, how much non-school mixing is there with children, which could obviously facilitate the transmission of the virus if it does get introduced into the children.
Yes. You know, Prof, what I'm finding is that people looking for information that would really confirm how they want to feel. And I think there's, you know, understandably, people are very, very fatigued about staying at home. They want to get back to some kind of routine, some kind of normal. And what I've seen is that parents are now allowing their children to sleep out, at friends, maybe to have get-togethers. And I think for me, that's because it needs to get out now. I think also because, you know, the coronavirus, you know, in many ways, thank God, is not a lot of people directly at the moment. So I think there is been a lot of a kind of this false sense of, you know, relaxation, you know, when it comes to community.
Do children adapt to that increased discipline in a positive way, because it's providing them with a structure, it's providing them with a kind of an anchor or a foundation? Or is it negative?
Could you repeat yourself? Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was saying, how do children adapt from in the home environment, which may be, as you say, a little bit lax because of maybe corona fatigue, when they transition to the school environment, which is a more disciplined, more controlled? Do they respond positively because it gives them more structure? It gives them a more kind of foundation?
Absolutely. I think there's been a lot of preparation and thought that's gone into, especially with the preschools, I mean, also with the primary schools, the grade sevens and the matrix, into why we are, or educators are lying or encouraging children to come back to school. And I think for me, one of them, as you say, is definitely that routine. To get children back into some kind of structure. And we've seen a lot of young children regressing. A lot of young children now, and what I mean by that is that they are now becoming incontinent again. They're wet in their beds. They're becoming more irritable, clingy. And really, that just is showing us that children are really struggling in the lockdown. And the other thing which is very important is that preschool children learn and thrive with play. And it's very, very difficult at home. So I think it's also very important that we understand, which does make it more difficult, obviously, with the physical interactions and between the kids, which obviously parents and teachers are concerned about. But really, children thrive on play. They learn from play. And a lot of children, especially the primary school children, are not wanting to be on Zoom. They don't want to learn that way. So I think it's very important from a psychological and educational point of view that children do get back to school. Also very importantly, what I'd like to add is that especially for grade R children, you know, it's a very important time for them to be assessed from a psychological and educational point of view. And that really can't be done, you know, via Zoom or any other kind of, you know, using that kind of technology. It's so important that the children are observed and assessed by their teachers to see how they're doing developmentally and to make sure that they are able to move forward to grade one. And right now is a very important time to get any kind of assessment and then interventions that may be needed, you know, so that they can move forward into grade one, which is a very important time for learning.
Well, you know, taking it to its extreme, you know, there are people saying, well, now, you know, part of the new normal is the fact that we have now evolved into electronic learning and homeschooling. And I suppose that the kind of question is, how long an option is this reasonable? I mean, can electronic learning replace classroom learning? I suppose it's a very broad question, but you know, is there a possibility that the future that this may well be the future?
It's so interesting. I've never heard so often children say, and even teenagers, "I wish I could go back to school. I'm missing school terribly." And I don't think they're actually missing this, you know, the, I think especially the older children. I don't think that it's not effective to learn online. I think the older children, grade sevens, sixes and into high school, are actually learning quite effectively online. I think what they're missing is that social interaction, is that face-to-face interaction. And funny enough, I mean, it's been absolutely fantastic that they've had social media to keep in touch with their peers. But funny enough, it's not enough. And I think this is what people have been saying for a long time, that it's fine and it's important for kids to communicate over social networks. But face-to-face, nothing replaces face-to-face interaction and face-to-face teaching. So I think for me, especially for the older children, online learning, I think, is here to stay to some degree. And I think that's positive. But I do think for me, it will never replace the face-to-face teaching, which I still think needs to happen in some form. And, you know, but as we run into trouble with the younger kids, as we say, the preschool and the grade ones, grade twos, where learning is very, very much about play and social interaction. And there, I think we're really going to struggle with kind of giving them a complete education online.
Great. David, thanks. Our reception is much, much better now. We're going to take a little ad break, but stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag growing Gauteng together.
Welcome back to Life in the New Normal. It's Barry Shoup and my distinguished guest is the psychologist David Abramson. I do hope we have a much better line. The last little bit was far better than in the beginning of this interview. David, I want to ask you a very general question. I think it's on many people's minds. As you know, there's been a lot of controversy with the talking about whether schools should be reopened. I think my views are very plain on that score. But one of the things which comes up in discussion, and I'd very much like to have your comment on it, is that, you know, when we walk on the streets in the morning, we see people with totally lackadaisical about the infection control. You know, people not wearing masks, socializing, getting into groups and talking, really kind of flouting the kind of regulations. Now, what is your view that, I would think that children are very much more compliant to regulations, more and more compliant to discipline than in fact adults are. And this is another reason why in fact going back to schools is a far lesser of a risk than any adult social gathering. I'd love to hear your comment on that.
Well, I think, you know, I think that as we've been saying, I think people are very tired of lockdown and are wanting now to get out and they're wanting to socialize, and that goes for their children as well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Are children tired of lockdown?
You know, we can think that we are controlling environments, but we're really not. And I think, Prof, you could speak to that. But really, when it comes to a school environment, I think we underestimate the ability of our children to follow instructions. Certainly the older children, you know, the primary school, high school children, and even the pre-primary school. And I know that we're talking about play and interacting, which does involve, you know, that closing of social distancing. But I think for me, when you think about the school environment, and as you said, Prof, children have very low viral loading. You know, the chances of them passing it on to adults, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is low. And more importantly, there's a lot of adult supervision and a lot of mindful cleaning. There's so much awareness around the virus at school that there is a conscious effort to clean things and to make sure that things are conducive to play and to safe play. So I think that's the irony about actually going back to school, that it probably, compared to letting our children go and have play dates and interact with other children, is probably a safer environment because of all the safety regulations and all the supervision. And I think there's often a question around whether we'd be traumatizing our children, to keep them apart all the time. And absolutely, it would be very difficult for preschool children to stay apart. But I think, you know, by educating them in an age-appropriate way, I think we can really help children to understand and empower them to kind of approach them by saying, what can you do to help the coronavirus? How can you help? And there are so many amazing books and websites out there which really explain social distancing and the coronavirus to young children. And it's actually incredible how responsible they can be and how they respond to appeals to help with the coronavirus and to protect themselves and to protect other people.
Yeah. No, it's great. And you feel children, generally speaking, obviously there will be exceptions. There will be the rebels. But they are very receptive to wearing a mask for a couple of hours, for example, even though it might be uncomfortable. Telling a child, look, don't touch the mask. Don't, if your nose is itchy, don't go, you put your hand underneath the mask and so on. Now, obviously that's going to be age appropriate, but
right,
as a general thing, are they kind of receptive to things which are strange? We've never had this before. This is unique. We've never had children coming to school with a mask on, for example.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to be realistic, that children are going to play with their masks. Children intuitively are going to want to hug each other and be close to each other. And I think we need to be realistic about that's not going to be something that we can stop. And I don't think it's appropriate to stop that completely. But what I do think for me is that we will be able to create structures within the school day where children are going to be, be apart and have interactions which are safe. But I think also what's important is to appeal to children to highlight what they can do. You know, not to create anxiety, but to highlight to them that they can do things to help in this coronavirus, to highlight washing hands and doing it in a fun way, and maybe even creating a way of social distancing in games. So yeah. I think for me, there are going to be those children who, we often have children who are very active or maybe they're defiant. And I think, again, if they are struggling to keep their distance, you know, I think obviously decisions would have to be made around whether it is best for them to be at school or not. But generally, I think for me, children are mostly receptive to instruction, especially if we put it across in a fun, and not in an anxiety-provoking way.
Has it been a challenge, you know, with the very young children? Because my understanding, but correct me if I'm wrong, is that they're not allowing parents into the school campus. So in other words, the parent will need to say goodbye to the child. Would that accentuate, can that be overcome, do you think, that children don't have that separation anxiety, the very young children, when mommy and daddy say goodbye at the gate, not in the campus?
I think there will be a degree of separation anxiety anyway, even if parents, for some children, even if parents were allowed into the school grounds. But I think it's all about, and we say this often around anxiety, it's all about making it predictable. So really, I think it's about clear communication from the school, what the procedure is going to be, and then for parents to prepare the child about what's going to happen and to actually talk them through it. What the process will be in the morning. This is how it's going to be different, as I said before, but also emphasizing what's going to be the same. And also, you spoke, Prof, about masks, you know, and I'm sure kids are practicing wearing their masks. And that's another thing that they can do at home is to familiarize themselves with masks and to wear them and to make them fun. You know, I've seen and again, we need to be realistic, especially with the young children. They are going to take them off. They are going to play with them. But I think for me, making the masks more familiar to them is something that
Mickey Mouse
mask. Help them to get more comfortable with it.
Thanks, David. We'll take an ad break and come back just now again. Thanks.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag growing Gauteng together.
Welcome back to Life in the Normal and our show today on mental preparation and return to school. Our guest, David Abramson, well-known psychologist. David, one of the issues from going back to school, or put it that way, not going back to school, is the potential of stigma and potential of bullying for those children that either can't go back to school because they've got comorbidities, and medically shouldn't be going back to school, or alternatively whose parents don't want their child going back to school.
Absolutely, Prof. I think for me it is a very personal decision, and I think some parents are not going to send their children back to school either because of of there being a pre-existing medical issue, or because they just don't feel safe. And I think for me, again, that needs to be explained to the children, that some kids are going to be staying at home for that reason. And again, parents out there might think that that's going to traumatize or create anxiety for their children. But I think for me, if spoken to in the right way, you shouldn't do that at all. And I think it's so important that parents and the children are aware of the kids that have decided not to come back to school or who they are not socializing with on a regular basis, and to really stay connected with them. So I think there will be a number of kids who are going to be staying at home still for whatever reason. But it's so important, and I think it's incumbent on the teachers and parents to help their children to stay in touch with these other children through, whether it be Zoom or any other kind of, kids actually even play games online, Roblox. Which I certainly have no problem with. So really, I think it's, there will be those kids at home, but I think it's so important that we don't allow them to feel isolated and encourage our children to communicate with them as well.
Yeah, I think this may develop into a challenge, but as you say, that kind of continuing that interaction for those that go to school and those that don't go to school, I suppose always the kind of worry, will that kind of engender some kind of, I suppose, stigma or I'm going, you're not going, that kind of feeling?
I think there's a lot of parents right now who are feeling very concerned about their children's social life because, you hear about parents making decisions to socialize with other children, making arrangements, and yes, I think there's this anxiety that my child is missing out. My child will lose friends. Their friendships will become weaker because, out of sight, out of mind. And I think, again, it is something that really we need to, as I said, be aware of, because there can be this idea of I haven't seen you and I haven't interacted with you, so I'm going to form closer bonds with people who are physically around me. And, again, especially in relation to the younger kids. So I think we have to be very careful to educate our children, I think parents and teachers about the situation, and again about reaching out to those ones who aren't, and to be very careful that we don't stigmatize those children who are not coming to school, whose parents are not allowing them to come back to school, and really encourage and make them aware, that those relationships can still continue, even if they're not seeing them at school.
David, we're going to have to wrap up. I'd love to carry on for another hour or so. Particularly, unfortunately, we lost a bit of time with a poor connection earlier in the show. But it's been an absolutely fascinating show. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. I thank you very much for your insights. I think it's been of great value to people, to parents that are listening in, and hopefully also to some children that are listening in. So thank you very much, David. I don't know if you have any concluding remarks that you'd like to kind of a concluding message, a message maybe of support to parents that are wavering whether to have their children go back to school or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's been an absolute pleasure, Prof. I'm sorry about all the technical difficulties.
Not sure.
But what I would say is know your child. Know your child. And base your approach when it comes to corona on who your child is. If your child is more anxious, obviously you can take that into consideration when giving them information. But I do think for me the first step is to always ask the child what they know. What do you understand by coronavirus? What do you understand by social distancing? What have you heard? Because it's amazing how children misinterpret, especially the young ones, misinterpret information so often. So I think that's a very good starting point, is to ask children what they know. And if parents are not shown, we haven't gone into this today, exactly what to say to their children, how to explain it, especially the young ones, about coronavirus. There's some amazing sites, and I can highly recommend one, for example, called lifescience.com, where where they really help you to put it into child-friendly language to explain to children about coronavirus, about how it spreads, and about how to and how not to spread it. So if parents struggling to communicate with their children, that's one website of many that you can go onto, which offer amazing information. As far as going back to school is concerned, I would say to parents, it's a very personal thing, and each parent needs to make their decision about going back. But I think what I have seen is that that schools have taken huge precautions and have taken the health of the children very much into account. And then, but not only their health, but also the decision to open the schools has been based on psychological health. And certainly, I have and my colleagues have seen a deterioration in children's emotional well-being.
It's really been great having on the show, and thank you very much for coming on. All the best.
The New Normal Show was proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. #GrowingGauteng together.